reading to you from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John and with the 12th verse. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in Seattle, Washington, in a pastor's home. Friends, you know, I've thought about this so many times. The Bible says that if we will follow him, he'll give us eternal life. You know what the tragic part of most Christians today? They forgot there really is a burning hell at the end of a Christless eternity. There really is, beloved. God didn't make it that way. Sin is what causes people to go to hell, and people decide on this side of eternity where they want to spend eternity. That's right. After you die, it's too late. Oh, I'm telling you. Remember the rich man Lazarus? In hell he woke up and found he was in torment. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 8th chapter of John, and let's begin reading with the 32nd verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's offspring, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, You shall become free? I gotta turn a page here. My stars in the morning, my page is not turning to me. Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does not remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Dear friends, I don't know how happy you are tonight, but aren't you glad that you live in America? Oh, my dear friends, we live in the greatest nation of them all. And there's people from all over the world are coming to America so they can live that American dream. Well, this is one place in the world that you can say what you want to say without getting shot. You can criticize the president, you can criticize the government, you can get away with that. Some nations, you get shot. You don't criticize the people in Cuba, you didn't criticize Hitler, you didn't criticize Mussolini, but you can here in this great nation. So it's fitting to celebrate his goodness to us. And it's his goodness that I'm talking about tonight. The bounty we share in this good land. See, freedom is one of our greatest blessings. We have political freedom. We have personal feelings and freedoms. And what makes us free? The scripture says in 8:32, the truth shall make you free. A well-known quote that few know is from the Bible, the words of Jesus. This has always been true politically. Study a map and see where the Bible has gone bringing freedom. Now, the amazing timetable of God is the founding of America. Boy, oh boy, you know old Columbus and them, they must have really thought they hit the jackpot when they come to this great country of America. My stars, that's back in 1492. In the 1400s, they invented the printing press. 1400, the birth of Martin Luther, who truly changed part of this world. The scripture in print and the Reformation brought persecution. See, America provided a place for people to flee for freedom. They came for freedom to follow the teachings of the Bible, and they came to found a nation based on biblical principles. Oh, my stars, when they got in that little old ship over there and come over here to Plymouth Rock, I don't know how many, I guess about half of them died on that cruise. They didn't have the cruise ships like we have today. In fact, that was a little bitty ship, and they got scurvy, and they didn't have fresh vegetables. Hey, you know what? 1943, I was stationed up in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, out in the Aleutian Chain, and we were repairing submarines. Well, I was there for 18 months. We never had fresh milk, of course. We never had fresh vegetables, never like that. And I remember when the first thing I did when I ship pulled into Seattle, Washington, I walked into a big restaurant, and she said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "Yes. Would you bring me a quart of milk and a head of lettuce?" And she looked at me kind of laughing, and I said, "That's what I want, a quart of milk and a head of lettuce." And I sat there, and I drank that whole quart of milk, and I ate that whole head of lettuce. You talk about sick. I thought I was going to die. But, oh, friends, when you're without things like that, you sure love it when you get a chance to partake of it again. Those people over in England were persecuted. They said, "We got to go where we can be free." Aren't you glad that somebody had enough courage to do that? I think about that so many times, and I think about our forefathers who came across the plains in those big old wagons. My stars in the morning, they brought some seed potatoes, they brought some seedlings, and they went out here in Oregon and Washington, and they planted their seed, and look at Portland now, look at Seattle now, look at San Francisco, Los Angeles. Look at all of our great cities. It's because people were free and they had a vision. Well, the Savior makes us free, and it says in John 3:36, "And the Son shall make you free." That's Jesus. You see, when our forefathers messed up in the Garden of Eden, they got cast forth, of course, because they were disobedient and didn't follow the instructions of the Lord. And that's why there's so many Christians today who are unhappy, because they don't want to follow the Bible's teachings. Now, He has given us the message that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, "Cecil, you're an evangelist." That's right. But every born-again believer has the obligation to become a witness and a soul winner for Jesus. That is the job that God gave us. And how many are doing it today? The other day, my wife and I and a pastor and his wife, I took them out to lunch. And this lady was waiting on the table on us. And I said, "Ma'am," excuse me, and back in 1955, I was drinking wine in Skid Row in Portland, Oregon. "You were?" Well, she wanted to know what happened. Well, I'd opened the door, and I got to share my testimony with her. She got tears in her eyes. Friends, listen, people all around us are looking for something that will encourage us. Your testimony would encourage somebody today. Maybe someone you know is dying of cancer. Maybe you've had cancer. "I've had a couple heart attacks. I can deal with people about that. I can tell them." That's why these things come upon us, so we can share with others. And it strengthens us. You know, if you read this Bible enough, you're going to find out that God truly had a plan. Now, when Satan deceived Eve, that didn't surprise God. God knew that was going to happen. But you see, he gave him an opportunity. You know what difference? You don't have to accept Jesus if you don't want to today or tomorrow or the next day. You do not have to do that. But what I'm asking you, are you willing? Are you willing to let that take you to hell? I've had people say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. Let me tell you what. I'm going to take my chances. I said, take your chances on what? I'm going to take my chances that you're wrong. That when life is over, when you die, that's it. That's the end of the road. Oh, don't you wish that was it? It is not. When you die, the minute your spirit leaves your body, you're going to be sent to hell or you're going to be sent to heaven. Oh, dear friends, would you gamble with your life? See, I'm not gambling, but I put all my eggs in one basket. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I believed it. Now, the reason I believed it, and this is something you ought to consider, he did change my life. Now, you say, oh, here comes his old testimony. Yes, right. I left my home at 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk out of my mind, which I'm so terrible sorry to have to report. And I came home around 6 o'clock in the morning, sober, sane, and saved. And my wife could not understand what had happened to me. Boy, you see, God actually delivered me that very moment that I cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He delivered me from alcohol. He set me free. He put my foot on a solid rock. That's been 51 years ago today, dear friends. Don't you think I have something to be happy about? And if you've been born again, so do you. You say, but Cecil, I don't know. I just don't seem to have it. You don't seem to have what? You mean you don't have any peace or any joy? Are you sure, beloved, that you gave your heart to Christ? Are you sure that you've been freed up, free from your sins? Well, freedom flows from the written word and the living word, from inspiration to authority. This is the unerring word of God. See, Christ sets people free. Remember Nicodemus? He got freed up from religious bondage. He was a sure good man. He bet your life he was, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's the highest court you could get in those days. But he knew that there was something missing in his life. He didn't know it was salvation, of course. So he decided, after hearing testimony after testimony from well-meaning Christians, that he wanted to find out if this is true. So he sought out Jesus himself. Come to him at night and had a little chat with him. And Jesus said, well, Nicodemus, here's a game plan. You must be born again if you want to go to heaven. And Nicodemus said, wait a minute, Lord. You mean at my age I can enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews and don't know that plain, simple truth? That day, that night, Nicodemus turned his back on Judaism and turned his heart toward Jesus, and Jesus washed his sins, and he was freed up. You betcha he was. You remember Zacchaeus? He was a crooked tax collector. And he was up in that little, he was a little short guy, and he's up in that little old sycamore tree, and Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come to my house, come to your house, I'm going to talk to you. And you know how I know that Zacchaeus gave his heart to Jesus? Because he set him free from his lust for money. He said, I'll give back 100-fold or 200-fold what I took from people dishonestly. The woman at the well was set free from immorality. Oh, my friends, some of you today are in bondage of tobacco, bondage of sex, bondage of alcohol, homosexuals, lesbians. That's a bondage that you're in, but Jesus can free you from it, and he is the only one that can free you from that terrible, terrible crime. Our political freedom is a gift from God. We have a right to decide for ourselves. You know, a lot of people honestly, truthfully believe if they're a member of the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Pentecostal Church, that's all they have to do, or they've been baptized, that's all they have to do. In this prison that I go to, our chaplain, who I love him, I really, he's a wonderful man, and he comes in and he brings his pitcher in there and he baptizes people by pouring water over their head. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, it's not scriptural, for one thing. No, it is not scriptural. Jesus himself, who was baptized with John the Baptist, was put down in under the water. And when he came up out of the water, he heard the voice of God. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And there's the first time that the witness of the Holy Trinity, the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself. No, friends, you go down into the water. Water does not wash away one little thing from you. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away your sins. And the beautiful part of it, friends, when he washes away your sins, he casts them into a sea of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered again. He don't remember one dirty thing that you've done in your life. I've asked the men and the women in prison, wouldn't you like to have every awful, terrible thing that you've ever done erased? Oh, yes, they want that. I said, well, then you need to repent of your sins. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Turn your back on the old way of life and come to Jesus as a little child. And I said, then you'll have the abundant life. Well, lots and lots of them respond and come to Jesus. And you see, I always tell them, look, when you leave this prison, you take Jesus with you, because if you don't, you're going to be back. 85% of you will be back in prison. That's a statistic that has been proven. Well, how can you leave Jesus behind? Well, you don't. But if you are a Christian and Jesus lives in your heart, you're still able to sin. That's your decision. Whatever you want to do, you can do. Are you willing to pay for it, though? Oh, the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Spirit makes us free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Whew. Man's long search for God's through religious ceremonies. And oh, I know, I go to some of these churches that they do this and they do that. It just makes me want to cringe. Religious ceremonies are nothing. People need to hear that God Almighty sent his Son Jesus into the world to die for us. And through him we can have freedom and liberty. Christ came to free us from the law and and give us the Holy Spirit. And you know what, dear friends, we've got to be careful that we don't revert to legalism. And you know something else, we've got to be careful that we're not self-righteous. You know, after the Lord delivered me alcohol, though I was so happy, and I was around telling my alcoholic friends about it, and they didn't want to hear it because they didn't want to quit drinking. No, they didn't want to quit. And you can't make a person drink water. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can put a little salt in his water, make him thirsty. You know, when I was in the Aleutian Islands up there again during World War II, we had two men aboard our ship that were born-again Christians. They stood out like a sore thumb. We used to make fun of them. We used to call them names. But you know what? Deep down in my heart, I admired those two men. How I admired them. Every night we'd go up the bar and the sub-basin. We'd drink on till 2 o'clock and come home. The next morning, their minds would be clear. they carried their Bibles with them. We called them Sky Pilots, Holy Joes. Did you know what, dear friends? All three of us today are preachers. That's right. Through their witness, through their powerful witness, later on I become a Christian. Well, dear friends, political freedom makes us free citizens in America. And spiritual freedom makes us free saints. I want to ask you, beloved, how free are you tonight? How free are you? Do you go out and witness for Jesus? Are you helping the poor and the needy? You say, well, Cecil, you know, if I had lots of money. No, 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 friends, don't do that. Don't go there. You help people whether you have lots or nothing. When you give unto the poor, the Bible said you lendeth unto the Lord. Oh, my dad and mom taught me that lesson, my brothers and my sister, young in life, that giving was one of the greatest things that we could do for others. And now I'm not saying that for asking anybody to give to me, because I don't ask for money. I don't need to ask for money, because God has supplied our needs. Isn't that a miracle? When I used to owe everybody in the country. Oh, I tell you, an alcoholic is a disgrace to this land. And if you're an alcoholic tonight, I'm begging you, come to Jesus tonight. Let him change you from the inside out. Let him take that heart of stone out and put a heart of flesh in. Would you like that? Would you like to be free of all your anxieties? Oh, I tell you, it's terrible to be afraid. He could even remove fear. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight, dear friends, to come to Jesus. That's the reason we preach, is to invite people to come to Christ, to free you up. Now, here's a prayer that changed my life completely, and it can change yours. But I ask you, I beg of you, please do not pray this prayer. If you don't mean it, it could get you in a lot of trouble. So you've been warned. But if you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life, here's a prayer that you need to pray. Kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done unto you and to my family and my loved ones. And tonight, dear Lord, I open my heart and receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I don't care where you go to church. I'm not going to ask you for any money. And dear friends, I won't embarrass you or use your name on the air. But if you feel I can help you spiritually, please give me a ring at 303-471-8534. I am concerned. God gives you the gift to call tonight.
To hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share. Touch with God. Turn your radio on. Brother, listen into the glory land chorus. Listen to the glad hosannas. road. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Get a little taste of joy awaiting. Get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share. Turn the lights down low. And listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio
Well, dear friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moen. I trust and I pray that something was said that would encourage your heart. And dear friends, you know what? Religion is man's effort to reach up to God, but salvation is God coming down to man and making him a new creation. Well, dear friends, pray for us. Pray for the quartet, my wife and I, as we go to prisons and rescue missions. Pray that God will give us the strength and the health. And I'm trying to get into some more ECP treatments, which is 35 treatments, an hour treatment, so it'll help my lungs and maybe I can get off this oxygen. Oh, I hope so. Well, until this time next week, be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.